Let us pray. Lord God, we want to say thank you again as we have reached this point in worship where your word speaks to us. Lord, we thank you because your word is indeed alive, and it is active, and it is sharper than any double-edged sword. We thank you, God, for the way you will speak to our hearts, the way that you will challenge us, convict some of us, and then help some of us to grow so that we might continue to move forward on this journey of faith that we call Christianity. We thank you for this time that we're able to share together, and it's in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen. Amen. Alana and Gillen and Catherine have taught us a very important lesson this morning. Although they're children, and again, sometimes it seems very elementary, it is a lesson for us from God when we talk about faith. Because the truth is that many of us who are Christians, who have been for a while, we think we know what faith really is. When I look at Alana, who stands here and reads from the scriptures as the voice of God, and then I look at Catherine, who leads Gillen as the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then I look at Gillen, who's just like me, a lot of times, bumping into chairs, asking, do I have to keep this thing on for the whole trip? Asking, what am I going to get at the end of this? And then sometimes the Holy Spirit will turn the tables, and of course he'll lead and guide us, but what he'll also say and what God will say to us is, no, you follow me. When we hear this story of faith this morning, I just think about the fact that we think we know what faith is. We think when we speak about it, we say, oh no, it's the substance of things unseen and hope for, and everybody has the verse all down pat. But the truth is, let's talk about what faith is not. Faith is not my assumptions. Faith is not what I guess. Faith is not my imagination. Faith is not what I dictate it to be, but faith is what God says it is. In this first verse of chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, we're not sure about who the writer is, but even as we go into the book of Hebrews and we're not sure about the writer, there have been so many forefathers of the scriptures, of the canonical books, that want to argue about who wrote it. They weren't demonstrating much faith either. Did Clemens write it? Did Barnabas write it? Did Paul write it? He must have, because he's written all of these other epistles. And what that says to me as a Christian today is, it doesn't matter, because by faith, I believe it. And that first verse says, now faith is the reality of what is hoped for. It is the proof of what is not seen, for our ancestors won God's approval by it. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by God's command, so that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible. So what about the things in our lives that aren't visible? What about that healing that we've been waiting for so many years, for ourselves, for others? What about those reconciled relationships that don't seem to be mending together or coming back together or just not working out? What about those things that you've asked God for in the beginning of your life or in the middle of my life? Or why haven't any of those things yet come to pass? And why is it that sometimes we see a glimpse of it and then we don't ever see the full reality? The verse says here, and it is not in our scripture lesson for the morning, but what verse 6 says in the same chapter, chapter 11, verse 6 says, now without faith it is impossible to please God, for the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. Now, what do our rewards look like? When you think of a reward, and I like talking to you all so you can talk back to me, what do you think of when you think of a reward? One of the first things, what do you think of? A reward you think of?
Money.
Money, thanks. I was thinking, well, I'll say it and nobody else. Money, you think of money. What else might you think of when you think of a reward?
Trophy.
Something tangible, right, that you can see. Money is something tangible also that you can feel. What's another reward?
Happiness.
Can you always see or touch happiness? Not always, but there's something about it that radiates from you from the inside that says, wow, you're really happy today. I heard one more over here. What did I hear?
Friendship.
Is friendship always tangible? Not always, because some of us probably have very good friends who live far away. We can't touch them. Some of them we might not be able to speak to, but when it's something that's been developed and that's a true relationship, you believe it, but you can't really see it. Again, I have to look at Gillen this morning. I just watched as he made his way. And the truth is, we all do that so many times. And when I was thinking about the sermon topic for the day and even these scriptures and the sermon title being the roll call of the faithful, I wonder where you and I are on this roster. I wonder where our faith is. Because what the scriptures say in this, in verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, who we heard about earlier in Genesis, when he was called, he obeyed. He went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. But by faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. When I think of this story of Abraham, I think about my own parents who, by God's grace, are still living. I think about the things that God must have promised them in their lives, in their marriage. They'll be married 44 years this Friday. And I think to myself, I wonder what are some of the things that God has promised Dolly and God has promised Vernon that they're still waiting to see, that they're still waiting to come to fruition. And sometimes I wonder if we ever, as Abraham did, do we ever look at the promises of God to us as blessing someone else? God didn't promise Isaac and Jacob, but what the scripture says is that they were co-heirs of the same promise. So maybe the promise that God made to my parents and yours, maybe your parents won't see them, maybe mine won't see them, but maybe God will fulfill through you and I some of the promises that he has made unto them. Why is it that tangibly we want everything that God has promised us? If God says that I promise to never leave nor forsake you, why would you want that just for yourself and not for your children and not for your friends and not for the congregation and the Christians who you worship with, the Christians who you don't know, the Christians who don't look like you, who don't come from the same economic class, who might be Christians but just lost their job? When I think about faith, I want to think about what faith is not, and I want to think about not only this roster and the list of people and always saying, wow, Abraham had such faith. And wow, Sarah, although she laughed, she had such faith to say, I'm going to have a baby at the age beyond 90. Abraham ridiculed as well. The Bible talks about Abraham. He didn't laugh. It doesn't stress how he laughed like Sarah, but he did. And he was saying, I'm sure, I don't know how I'm going to make these babies at 90. But the truth is that by faith they believed. The scripture goes on to say, for he was looking forward, in verse 10, to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. There are things that God has promised me in my life, and that he's promised you in your life, that all won't come true to fruition tangibly. But what I look forward to is this architect and the builder of God, because he has my promises and all of my inheritance in eternity. I know that everything will be fulfilled when you and I get to heaven. I don't worry about the things that God says he promised me. When am I going to see them? Maybe I won't see them. Maybe 3 or 4 generations from my womb will see what the promises of God were. And sometimes we have to not be so selfish with what we think faith is, but we have to think about what it is not. So before I go on and talking about the roll call of the faithful, as we shared this summer, and I told you all that I used to teach for many years in the Patterson School District, and one of the things that you do as a teacher when the class comes in, what you do is you do what? What's one of the first things? Early in the morning, your class comes in, everybody gets settled, and you do what?
You take attendance.
So what we want to do is take attendance. Will you two ladies help me as we take attendance? Everyone needs to get one of these sheets. And will you pass them to them for me? What's your name?
Michelle
and?
Alyssa.
Thank you, Alyssa. On both sides? So we're going to take attendance this morning. If you run out, I have more. We're going to take attendance. And a lot of times, even as they pass those to you, a lot of times when I was teaching and it was time to take attendance, you know, there was always the class clown, as there are in our lives.
And you might call the name of one person and they'll say here, and you know it's not that person, but it's okay. It's always early in the morning and we want to take attendance. So what's being handed to you as it comes around is what I'm calling a faithful roster. The faithful roster is going around. And on your faithful roster, when you get it, it's kind of outlining Hebrews chapter 11. It's outlining Hebrews chapter 11. And before I went on through verse 11 and coming to a close to verse 16, I wanted to read this to you. I want to make sure everybody has one. It's on the way around. So although not a part of the scripture lesson for this morning, the entire chapter 11 goes through a whole roll call of who did what and how. Thank you so much. Thank you. Did you get one for yourselves?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And it goes through this whole listing of who had faith and what their faith was for and why. And again, sometimes we have to remember what faith is not. Because my faith won't be Carol's faith. My faith won't be June's faith. My faith won't be Michael's faith. But my faith will be individualized, and God will hold me accountable for that. So in verse 8 it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed, and he went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. But by faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Verse 11 says, by faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring. Even though she was past the age, since she considered that the one who had promised was faithful, who was God. Therefore, from one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, that was Abraham, came offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. Verse 13 says, these all died without having received the promises, but they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on earth. Now, those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they were thinking about where they came from, they would have had an opportunity to return. But they now desire a better place, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. On your faithful roster, you'll see several names. And next to the name, it'll say whether or not they're present or whether they're absent. It says what their major is, and then it says God's approval. And at the very bottom of this sheet, you see a lot of, what do you see at the bottom? A lot of vacancies. And those vacancies are for you and for I as Christians. And the question is, this morning, can you or can I be added to the roll call of the faithful? Now, some will answer quickly and immediately and say, oh, absolutely. But we want to answer based on what we know that faith is not. Because what faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen, for our ancestors won God's approval by it. So when I look over at God's approval, apparently this list through the Bible can go on, but within this chapter, everyone listed has received God's approval. One thing we have to be mindful of about faith as well is that it's not up to you or I to judge or to decide who's to be on this faithful roster, who's to be a part of the roll call of the faithful. Because sometimes in our own walks of faith, when God blesses us, when we see tangible things, we get a little bit above ourselves. We get a little bit self-righteous and say things or think things in our heart like, oh, well, they just don't have enough faith. You don't know that. Because you nor I, we're not God. God's approval comes in the end. God's approval comes with our lifestyle. God's approval comes with how you forgive one another, how you accept other people, how you're not so legalistic about so many things. God's approval is God's approval, and it's not up to us. But the roll call of the faithful has already been established. And this sheet with all of these vacancies, I want to make sure before my time is up here on earth that I can be added to this list of people. Some of the stories and the miracles that I've heard, the wonderful things that God has done, some of the things just this week alone, some of you can be added to the faithful roster because you believe God. You have to understand what faith is not. It's not what you conceive it to be. It's not because when you and I get our way, it must be God's way. Sometimes we can be deceived by what it is that our hearts are telling us and what God is truly telling us. So this roll call of the faithful, this faithful roster, is just for you and for me. And even at the bottom where it has this question mark of all the vacancies, all I really have to worry about is myself. Cheryl, what is your faith like? What do you understand it to be? Because Abraham and Sarah, as the main characters in this story this morning, they've already passed their test. They've already completed their faith journey. But we who yet live still have a very long way to go. What the Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans, and I'll close with, he says this. In Romans chapter 5, in Romans chapter 4, I'm sorry, 1 through 5, he says this about Abraham as he speaks to us. What then can we say that Abraham, our physical ancestor, has found? If Abraham was justified by works, then he has something to brag about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Now to the one who works, pay is not considered as a gift, but something owed. But to the one who does not work, but believes on him who declares the ungodly to be righteous, his faith and her faith is credited for righteousness. James says in the very next book of the Bible that faith without works is dead. We have to understand what faith is before we can indeed be added to this faithful roster. So because you and I have been faithful about one thing, or we've had faith about one situation, it doesn't mean that it's over. We'll have to end like we began, with Gillen, bumping into things, the Holy Spirit as our guide, listening for the voice of God. We'll have to do that as long as we live, so that we also can see this city eternal that God has prepared for all of us. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for speaking to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask that you would challenge our hearts even now, and any hearts that have been convicted or that are struggling, Lord, with your word, we ask that you would remove from them anything that is holding them back from releasing themselves and allowing you to penetrate their hearts. So we thank you for your instruction to us about faith this morning. We thank you for the way you'll continue to move and work in our lives as we believe you and as we realize what faith is not. It's in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.